Over these weeks of May and June, we're looking at a series called Elements. It's a series of sermons on some of the disciplines, practices, habits, whatever you'd like to call them, that would help us grow closer to God. And each week we look at a different theme, and this morning we're looking at prayer. And I'd like to read to you this morning from Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 7, and you'll find it in your sermon notes if you want to follow along. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? So if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Father God, this morning as we come, we want to sit underneath your word. We want to hear you speak to us. We want to hear what your Spirit has to say. And so, Father, we pray that you would calm our minds and focus our attention on you. Father, we pray that we would hear your words as we think this morning about what it means to pray. And Father God, just guide us in our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Well, I don't know if you struggle with prayer or not. I'm guessing most of us kind of don't do as well in prayer as we'd like to. And I don't know whether it's how much you pray or how fluently you pray or what you pray for or what it is exactly about prayer that's kind of challenging. But I know in my life, if there was one thing I wish I could do better, it would be to pray. Maybe it's to do more. Maybe it's to do better. Maybe it's just to know how to do it. You know, there's this idea that really prayer is simple. I mean, I have a whole shelf full of books in my library about it, but really at its essence, it's just simply communication with God, right? It's talking and listening and being in his presence. A chap by the name of O'Hallisby, who was a pastor from a different age, says, "Prayer is the breath of the soul. It's the organ by which we receive Christ into our parched and withered hearts." And there's this idea that prayer is just communication with God. And I was looking through this, and I found an old sermon that I'd preached when I was in Lethbridge, which is now 35 years ago. And it was one of the first church I was at, one of the first sermons I probably preached. And I was talking in there about prayer, and I compared it to a phone call. So back in those days, we lived in Lethbridge. Don's folks lived in Vancouver in Surrey. And they would phone on Friday nights. That was the days when long distance was really expensive, if you recall. So we let them do the phoning. And on Friday nights, about 9 or 10 o'clock, whatever, the phone would ring. We'd know it would be them. And Don would run to the phone to answer the phone. And I kind of used that as an illustration of saying, you know, that's what prayer is like. It's like when the phone rings, you run to answer it. And as I was looking at that, I realized it doesn't work anymore. I mean, it works for me, you know, because I will answer my phone when you phone. But, you know, this younger generation, you guys out there, don't answer the phone. You know, we phone our daughter. We first of all text her to make an appointment to tell her it's us that's going to phone, you know, and then we phone. And, you know, I just sometimes wonder if, you know, if this thing actually is a phone or if it is just a talking device, you know, that you can type on. But this idea, I think, that prayer is that way. And I wonder if that's sort of become the way prayer has become for us. That prayer has almost become, you know, we would rather text God and get that in real quick than talk to him and have a conversation and really get to know him. And this morning we're going to think about prayer, and prayer is a huge topic. So I thought, well, we need to kind of focus it down a little bit. I mean, in essence, all prayer is talking and listening. We talk to God and we listen to God. And, you know, and it shouldn't be that complicated. I mean, what do you talk about? Well, you talk to God the same thing you talk to other people about. You know, you talk to God about the weather. Pastors do this all the time. There's a little speakeasy underneath one of the Alliance churches in town. I can't tell you where exactly, but all the pastors gather there right before a long weekend, and we all pray for rain. We don't pray for rain for the whole weekend, just until church starts. It can be sunny for the rest of the day, and God has still answered our prayers. But, you know, we just like to have people in town to preach at. And so, you know, we talk to God about that, but the question comes, what do we pray for? And the question comes, well, is it okay to ask? Yeah, I understand listening is good, and I understand talking to God is good, and I understand all that, but I wonder if asking's all right. And that's where this sermon comes in. Because I think the first truth that this passage teaches us is simply that Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. And he encouraged us to ask for the Father's wealth. And I think we kind of start with that because I think some of us feel guilty when we come to God and we ask things. We kind of feel, well, maybe, you know, it's okay to do all the other stuff, but asking, I'm not sure if that's all right. Many of us are afraid to ask. Although the Bible does tell us that we don't have because we don't ask. And we're scared to come to God as if he's Santa Claus. And we just have this long list of everything that we want, that we think he should do, that we know how to do everything better than him. And so this is all the things that we need answered. And there's a lot of truth to that. We shouldn't come to God solely to, you know, just bring him this laundry list of stuff. We should praise and we should thank and we should confess. But the Bible also says it's okay to ask. 1 John says, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. And James 4 says, you have not because you don't ask. Sir Walter Raleigh, remember him? Going back into high school now, probably for many of us. He's a guy that kind of explored Virginia, the Commonwealth, and now the state of Virginia. He was a good friend of Queen Elizabeth, the first Queen Elizabeth, who was known as the Virgin Queen, so he named the colony after her, Virginia. And he came to her one time, and he asked for something. Well, he came to her many times and asked for stuff. And Queen Elizabeth said back to him, Raleigh, when are you going to quit asking? And Raleigh answered, Your Majesty, I will quit asking when you quit giving. And I think there's something about that with God, that God wants to give us things. God never gets tired of us coming to him and asking when we ask the right way. And so the first thing is we shouldn't be afraid to ask. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. But I think the second thing that we do is sometimes we don't ask because we're just too proud to ask. To ask is to admit that we need help. And for independent, self-made people, especially some of you men around here, we struggle with that. We don't ask directions. We don't ask for help. We have this struggle to admit that we can't do it ourselves. And so we tend to kind of hang in there. And we have this pride, and humbling ourselves to come before God and ask is too much. In the Soviet era, when the Russia was still the Soviet Union, and atheism ruled the land, they did this experiment in one of the schools, and they got two plots of land. One plot they just left alone, and one plot they looked after very, very carefully. They weeded it, cultivated it, planted it, fertilized it, everything. One they prayed over, one they worked over. At the end of the day, they said, which one of these was the most successful? Why, it was the one we did. We don't need God. We can do it by ourselves. And we would never go that far. But I wonder if that isn't part of our thing. Is that, well, maybe we don't really need God. Maybe we don't want to humble ourselves. And we don't ask. And Jesus comes to us this morning and says, do not be afraid in your prayers to ask. But then the question comes, well, why aren't many of our prayers answered then? If God wants us to ask, why is it that our prayers don't get answered? And, I mean, obviously, some of them we don't want answered. You know, in retrospect, we think, you know, I remember praying in high school or whatever for a certain woman to be my wife. I'm sort of glad now that probably didn't happen. You know, I've prayed for other things that probably I'm just as glad didn't happen. James and John came to Jesus at one point and said, you know, when you come in your glory, we want to be in your right and your left. Well, when Jesus came in his glory, he was on the cross. And on his right and his left was a thief. And James and John didn't really want to be there when they looked back on it. You know, maybe the other reason we don't ask is because we don't get our prayers answered. And maybe the reason we don't get some of our prayers answered is because we're not seeking God's will. We're not listening before we ask. We're not listening to God's Holy Spirit. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That God does want to answer our prayers. That He does want to give us, but He doesn't want to give us what's unhealthy or bad for us. And so He only answers those prayers that have the right motivation. He only answers those prayers. Well, what does James say? You do not ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And sometimes when we come to God and we ask Him, we're asking Him for very selfish things. We're asking Him for maybe wrong things. And God says, you need to seek my will in order to do this. Remember that story of the prodigal son? It's a story of a son who comes to his father and says, Father, I'd like my inheritance now so I can live it up while I'm still, you know, not old like you. And the father gives it to him, and then he goes away and wastes it all, and then he comes back and has to beg his father to take him back. Well, there's two interesting prayers in that, if you want to call them prayers to the father. The first one is where the son comes and he says to the father, Father, give me my share of the property that's coming to me. Give me what I want. Give me what's mine. And then at the end of that story, he comes with a different request. He comes back saying, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Do what you think is best for me. And I think God is calling us to be those who are active in prayer, but those who are seeking God's will and knowing what to ask. And we get into this kind of question sometimes. I don't know, maybe you don't, but I do. And Phillips Brooks, who was a pastor from another age, we know him from O Little Town of Bethlehem, but Phillips Brooks said this. He said, the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. And it's this whole idea that we are praying for God's will to be done, for God to be glorified, for God's work to go forward. And the question is, well, how do we seek God's will? Well, that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. And while it would be nice to say, you know, if you did these four things, you would always be praying in the will of God, that's a learned experience. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's an ongoing and learned experience. But it has to do with learning to listen to God's Holy Spirit. Comes out of this idea that we don't necessarily know everything. And we're not trying to get our will simply done in heaven. But we're trying to release God's power to be at work on earth. And Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. He said, seek God's will and you will find it. And then he says, knock and the door will be opened. And I don't know if you've sometimes just wondered, well, where does that part come from? I understand ask and it will be given. I understand seek, but knock and the door will be opened. And I think we tend to misunderstand it, to be really honest, because we think we say, when we say knock and the door will be open, that Jesus is saying, well, whatever you ask for is a way of knocking and God will open the door and give it to you. And I'm not sure that's exactly what that says. See, when you look at what an open door means in Scripture, it has a very specific meaning. Paul says in Corinthians that a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, though there are many adversaries. And then in Colossians, he says, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. In other words, that God would open up a place where he can talk to people about the gospel. And this idea of an open door is an opportunity to do God's work. To knock is to ask God to allow us to serve him. Jesus put it this way. He said, I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you've done for me. And as we think about what does it mean to ask in prayer, and where does this open door part fit in? I have the feeling that our prayers are at the same time too small and too big, but in different ways. I think when we read that, we're reading that God wants us to pray for a reason, for him to be glorified, for this door of opportunity to be opened, those kind of things. I think our prayers are too big when we're praying for ourselves. I don't know about you. I look back on my week. I think, what did I pray for? Well, I prayed for a lot of things. Did I pray the right things? You know, what's interesting is when Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. What do we pray for ourselves? Well, daily bread, forgiveness. Not, you know, I need the rent payment for the end of the month. Not, you know, I need some stuff for my tax bill at the end of the year. Not, you know, I'd like my house to appreciate really well so that I can retire. Daily bread, forgiveness. And I wonder as we learn to trust God, if what God is calling us to it is not so much to be praying for ourselves. We do pray for ourselves. We do pray that God would be in what we do and that God would provide the things that he does. And we do pray for the meal and thank him for when he does. But I don't know that we need big prayers for ourselves necessarily. But what do we pray for the world? Often I think we pray small prayers. God bless so-and-so in somewhere. God be with my neighbor who's sick, my cousin who's whatever. And I wonder if God isn't saying, pray big prayers. Pray for the world. Jesus said, look out. You know, the fields don't look ripe, but I tell you they're ripe unto harvest. Pray, therefore, for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the fields. And Jesus is saying, pray big prayers for our world. Our world is a place in trouble. Pray for peace in places where there's war. Pray for God's word to go forward in places where there seems to be opposition. This is the month of Ramadan, so our Muslim friends are fasting and praying together. They want to connect with Allah. They want to get closer to Allah. And we passed out some booklets at the start of this where we're praying every day for a different people group within the Muslim world. And we're praying that God will break forward and that he will reveal himself to them and he will reveal truth to them. And though it may not be exactly what they think they're seeking, that he would show them that he is the answer to their prayers and to our prayers. And we want to pray big prayers. We want to pray that God will be at work in this world. We want to pray that God will change this world. We want to pray that God will be doing things. And the world will be different because of that. When Solomon became king, you remember when his father David died, he prays this prayer to God. God says, I'll give you anything you want. What is it you want? He said, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people. Make me adequate for the task of leading a country. He didn't pray for himself. He seemed to understand that small prayers would work there. But he prayed big prayers for his country and for his role in that. I wonder how our prayers would change if we could maybe refocus the way we've talked about this morning. Ask, come to me and ask, God says. Ask for the Father's wealth. But in doing that, make sure you have sought, that you're seeking the Father's will, that you know his will is that his power would be released in this world to make a difference. Pray big prayers for our world and smaller prayers for ourselves. But knock, that the door would be opened, that there would be this opportunity to do the Father's work. That when God calls us to do our part, we come alongside him in doing that. And if our part is to pray, we pray. If our part is to go, we go. If our part is to reach out in faith, we reach out in faith. And what if you could pray this week? And in your prayer this week, you prayed big prayers for this world. And one of the things that prayer does is it releases God's power to be at work in the world in a way that it doesn't when we don't pray. And what if our prayers releases God's power in such a way that people come to faith? What if our prayers make a difference, not only for time, but for eternity? What if our prayers make a difference in the world? Would that draw us to prayer? Would that draw us to asking God, to seeking his will, to knocking on those open doors, that the doors would open further, that his word could go forward, his power could be released, his spirit could be at work? Ask, Jesus said, seek, knock. Now, there's a sense in which maybe he was just saying the same thing three different ways. But I think there's another sense in which each of those builds on each other in a very special way. That as we ask God to teach us how to pray, he begins to teach us how to ask for the Father's wealth in the Father's will so that we can do the Father's work. And this week, we can make a difference. We may not see it, but we're promised that where God's people pray, God is at work. And where we pray big prayers for our church and for our city, for our country and for this world, God and his power will be released to make a difference. And God calls us to join with him as his world-changing people. Father, we thank you for your promise that we can come to you in prayer, that we can bring you our complaints, we can bring you our sin, we can bring you our praise, We can bring you our thanksgiving, but we can also bring you our world. And we can pray for your power to be released. We can pray for people to come to know you. We can pray for people groups and nations to be touched by you. We can pray, God, that you would be at work in fresh and amazing ways. And Father God, you can give us the joy of knowing we were some small part of what you're doing in this world. Father, teach us to pray, we ask. Teach us to pray for ourselves, but teach us to pray for your world. Help us to be those. Who pray that prayer that we would see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.